Turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're continuing, of course, our study, grow groups of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is often overlooked because this role really is to proclaim Christ. And we understand that there's the Godhead, which is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. In our study, we're looking at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has all kind of ministry, Old Testament, New Testament, life of Christ, everything. We've been seeing a lot of different things, and we begin looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers, and we're looking at what does the Holy Spirit do at the moment of salvation. Last week, we looked at regeneration. I'll review it, and we just started looking at what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we're going to do two things. We're going to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the sealing of the Spirit, and we'll talk about what does that mean, you know, how he seals us. It has to do with our security, and one of the things we just always review is what is the goal of our study, that we will understand the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, that both what he does Old Testament, New Testament, in the life of Christ, and what he does both in the lives of believers and unbelievers. So there's a lot here, and we're just touching the surface. We're just touching the top part of it, because as you go into grow groups, you have facilitators, there's some questions, but we're not going into a lot of detail, but we'll see how it fits together. Well, I think when you think about this, one of the very first testimonies that a believer can give is their baptism. Now, a lot of people are confused, and they'll say something like, a person needs to walk down an aisle, or they need to make a public confession or profession that they've trusted Christ. And so that's why a lot of churches have what they call altar calls. And they'll say something like, if you have trusted Christ, or if you want to trust Christ, come down to the front and make a public profession. Well, the Bible doesn't talk about that. The Bible says the public profession of a believer is his baptism, water baptism, in which he shows he's identifying with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the question that we have, and the reason I brought that up, is we're talking about this morning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the question might be, does water baptism have anything to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You're going to see as we go through our study, the answer, of course, is no, it doesn't. We've been looking at a lot of different things, and we'll see how it fits together. Here's a quick review, and I'm not going to go hardly any detail, but this is a quick review. We've talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force. Holy Spirit is God. He's the member of the Godhead, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is active in the Old Testament in creation and inspiration, which is giving scripture, indwelling people for service in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was active in Jesus Christ, his conception, his empowering, his death, and his resurrection. Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus Christ to indwell permanently in believers. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. That's the church age. The Holy Spirit works in believers and unbelievers. The Holy Spirit, when he deals with unbelievers, convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the sin is the fact that they have not put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. He says, sin that they have not believed in me. So when we talk to the unbelievers, the Holy Spirit's convicting them of the fact that they have not trusted in Jesus Christ. From there, we went now to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. And we said two different ways we're going to look at it. What does the Holy Spirit do at the moment of salvation? There's a number of things. It happens one time. And then we're going to look at what does the Holy Spirit do daily in the lives of believers. Now, we're in the idea of what does he do at salvation, at the moment of salvation. And last time, we actually looked at regeneration, which what happens the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are born again, you're regenerated, you have a new nature, you were spiritually dead, now you're spiritually alive. So regeneration is the act by which the Holy Spirit gives new life, gives spiritual life, eternal life, and a new nature, all of that, the moment a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. So that's what regeneration is. Now, we talked about that last week. Then we just touched on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a second thing that happens. When people hear baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is a lot of confusion. If you said indwelling of the Holy Spirit, if you said regeneration of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit regenerating people, people go, yeah, I think I understand that. When you say baptism of the Holy Spirit, people go, what are you talking about? And so it's misunderstood. Here's some reasons why there's confusion. Some people associate baptism of the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues, because the whole charismatic movement is based on the fact that a person can believe in Christ, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and the moment the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they begin to speak in different languages, and that shows they're saved, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in different languages. That's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, to be honest with you, I don't know exactly what that is. Okay? Anyway, we'll talk more about that at some other time, especially when we get to spiritual gifts and those kind of things. Though some people associate it with the gift of tongues, and somehow it's salvation. It's not. The second thing is sometimes people confusion of baptism of the Holy Spirit with water baptism. They think, okay, baptism means water. I mean, people think when you say baptism, you mean getting dipped in water or getting somehow. But the word baptized means to identify. It means to dip or to identify. It has an idea of a connection. So what is, and so we could just come to this question, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit places the believer into the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 13. Look what it says. It says, for by one Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, we were all, talking about believers, baptized means connected in union into one body. The body is the body of Christ. That's the church. Whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're slave or free, we're all made to drink or to connect of the one Spirit. So the Holy Spirit places believers into the body of Christ. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you've heard all your life, baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, or baptism of the Holy Spirit has something to do with water baptism, or baptism of the Holy Spirit something else, listen, bottom line is, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit puts you in union with Jesus Christ, places you in Christ. That's why the Bible says, therefore, if any man be what? In Christ, he's a new creation. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit places us in Christ. In fact, all believers are baptized, meaning the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. In fact, look at verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Look what he says, 12:12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all of the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. He says, listen, you got a human body and it got a lot of parts to it. Well, the body of Christ, which is the church, has a lot of parts to it. And that is every time somebody believes in Jesus Christ, they're placed into the body of Christ. And that's why 1 Corinthians 12:12, in Ephesians 4, he says there's one Lord, one baptism. And people get confused and they'll say, no, there was the baptism of Moses, there was the baptism of Jesus, there was the baptism of John the Baptist, there's the baptism of Christians when they trust Christ. Well, this baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit when the Ephesians says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The baptism is being placed in the body of Christ. So just make sure you kind of grasp that. Now, what happens? What happens when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior and we are baptized by the Holy Spirit? What happens? It makes us a member of the body of Christ. I want you to see that. We just quoted it, but look at verse 12 again. For even as the body, 1 Corinthians 12:12, for even as the body is one, yet has a lot of members, and all the members, though they're many, they're one body, which is in Christ. He says we're in the body of Christ. He says, for by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we're all in union, placed into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, all made to drink of one Spirit. He goes on and says in verse 18, but now God has placed the members, that's all of us, each of them in the body, just as he desires. The moment you trust in Christ, he places us in there. Look at verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. So what we're seeing is the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life, the moment you trust in him, he actually places you in union in Jesus Christ. Every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, we're all in union in Jesus Christ. We're in the body of Christ, which is the church. And we've all got different gifts, talents, and abilities. And he places us in the body according to 1 Corinthians 12. We're all placed in there for the common good. We're in the body of Christ. So baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's what that is. So it makes us a member of Christ. The second thing, it places us in union with the death and resurrection of Christ. That's Romans chapter 6. He says we're identified with Jesus Christ, his death, his buried and raised, and his death, burial, and resurrection. So we're identified with Jesus Christ. So the moment you trust Christ, guess what? You died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, you rose with Christ to a new life. That's who you are. That's who you are. You died and rose again with Christ because the Holy Spirit placed you in union. Romans chapter 6 says we were baptized into his death. We are baptized into his burial. We are baptized into his resurrection. I mean, we're in union. So it's an amazing, amazing truth. So if you have questions, you can talk more about them in the grow groups. But the bottom line, and simply put, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the moment you trust Christ, he places you, the Holy Spirit places you into the body of Christ, which is the church. That's why we can all say we're members of the body of Christ. We're members of the church. Now, we have a local church, a local body we all come together on. But the big church, the connection, the body of Christ, we're all in there the moment we believe. Now, and that's the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a second thing that we're going to look at this morning. This is the third one in the list, and that's the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And we think about sealing. What does that mean? Once again, this is the work the Holy Spirit does at the moment of salvation. This is not something you say, oh, Lord, please baptize me. Oh, Lord, please have the Holy Spirit baptize me. Oh, Lord, have the Holy Spirit seal me. This happens automatically. In fact, the big three that we've seen so far, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit makes us alive, regenerates us. We're born again so we can have a relationship with God. The Holy Spirit then places us in the body of Christ, and then the Holy Spirit seals us, which deals with our security. There's some people and they think, okay, I trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, but I could lose it. You cannot lose it. You know why you can't lose it? First of all, it's eternal life because it can't end. But second is the Holy Spirit actually seals you until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit keeps you saved forever. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. I want you to look at Ephesians, and if you want to, just flip to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. We're going to go through it really quickly just because of time. I want you to see how this works. And this is a great truth. And I may have actually gone too fast. We might get out early. I thought, well, this is going to be so much, I can't get through it. And I'm going too fast. Did I go too fast? Or did y'all grasp the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You got it. Okay, so we got that. Regeneration, he makes us spiritually alive. Baptism, he places us in Christ. Sealing, he keeps us safe in Christ. If you have ever said, I hope I'm going to heaven. I've trusted in Jesus, but I hope I make it. You're not understanding several things. Number one, you're not understanding the promise of God, which is I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. The God who cannot lie promised eternal life. That's Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So God, you have that promise. But second is, the moment you trust Christ, not only does he place you in the body of Christ, he seals you. He keeps you secure. Look at Ephesians 1. Look at verses 13 and 14. It says, in him, in Christ, you also, talking to the believers, after listening to the message of truth, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, this is when you first heard and understood the gospel of your salvation, having believed, the moment you believe, you were sealed in him, in Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I want you to understand something. The moment you believed in Jesus Christ, notice what it says, having believed, the moment you believe, you were sealed. And by the way, the way it's written, it says you were sealed, and it has that idea that it happened. It happened when we believed. In other words, the sealing happens the moment we believe. It doesn't mean that you believe and then sometime later he comes along and says, I'm going to try to make sure you stay in there. The moment you believe. Look what he says again. In him, you, verse 13, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. I love it. He says, you heard the message, and then he clarified it. The gospel, the death and resurrection of Christ and faith in him. He says, having believed, because that's what you're supposed to do. The moment you believe, having believed, you were sealed. You were sealed in him. Who is the him? Who is the him? That's Jesus. You were sealed in Christ. That's called the what? The body of Christ, which is called the what? The church. That's it. See, he's talking about it. He actually talks about being baptized by the Holy Spirit right there. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. It happens exactly that time. And then he goes on to say, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. In other words, you're going to be with Jesus Christ forever, and the Holy Spirit's like a down payment. He's saying, I'm just going to prove to you, you're going to be with Jesus forever. The Holy Spirit's giving you this pledge. And so we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are kept secure. We are made secure. You know, a seal is an amazing thing. A seal shows that something is secure. Sometimes you get medicine, and the thing it says, if the seal is broken, do not use. Because you know something's happened to that, because the seal is supposed to protect it and keep it safe. And so if you get medicine or you get anything that the seal is broken, you say, I'm not touching that because I don't know what's happened to it. Well, in a sense, the Holy Spirit seals us. Let me show you something in the time that we have left. What does the Holy Spirit do? There's three aspects of the sealing, and I'll go through them fairly quickly. The first one is security and protection. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are secure, you are protected. The healing of the sealing of the Holy Spirit makes you secure in Christ. It's the same way that in the first century, they would take a letter and they would seal it. And that way, it wasn't supposed to be opened. It was secure, supposed to be that way. Notice this, Ephesians 4:30 says, we're sealed until the day of redemption. In other words, we are protected and safe by God until he comes to get us, and that we're going to be with him forever. Jesus said, I give you eternal life, and you shall never perish. Nobody can pluck you out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. Nobody can do what? Pluck out of my Father, saying, I and the Father are one. So you understand that he's saying to us, listen, you're safe. The Holy Spirit keeps you safe. God says you are secure. Who can break the seal? Nobody can. Nobody can break the seal. The second aspect of the sealing of the Holy Spirit has to do with ownership. When somebody puts their seal on something, it showed it belonged to them. If a guy was going to send a letter in the first century, you've seen it in movies, you've seen it in things. You might have even done it yourself with sealing a letter. You put your letter in there, you put the envelope down, you took some wax, and you sealed it, and then you put your seal in it. They had a little stamp. If it was the Caesar, it had his, and he would put that down in there, and that said, this letter belongs to the person who sealed it. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you belong to me. I've sealed you. This is the ownership. And it's basically God saying, you belong to me. I've sealed you. You got my mark on you. As Romans 8:9 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not God's. If you haven't been sealed, that's the deal. The third thing, and this is a little bit unusual, and that is authority. When you give somebody the seal, they have the authority of the one that gave it to them. Do you remember the book of Esther? And you remember when Mordecai got raised up to a position of responsibility and the king took off his signet ring, which had a seal on it, and he gave it to Mordecai? And he said, whenever you make a decree and you put that seal on it, it's the same authority as me. When we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and we go to represent Jesus Christ, we have the authority in the sense that we represent him. Now, we're not the same authority. The authority is really the scripture and the authority is Jesus. But we represent him. And when we go out, we're saying we're made in the image of Jesus Christ. We are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk about it on Sunday morning in the service. We're going to talk about the fact that God's plan is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. He put his image on us. The Holy Spirit's put his seal on us. And the seal says, guess who you look like? God. Oh, really? Yeah, you better start acting like it. Oh, okay, I will. You know, that's really the thing there. He is our authority. First of all, he is our security. He is our ownership. And he is our authority. The sealing happens the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. And when one trusts in Christ, they are sealed and sealed forever. 2 Corinthians 1:22 talks a little bit about that, about the sealing and how we're kept safe forever and ever. It's just amazing. Listen, he says this. To the one, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, now the one who has established us in Christ and anointed us as God, who has sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as the pledge. You got who lives inside you? Holy Spirit. Jesus does, Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit's inside you. God says, I've given you the Holy Spirit to live in you to prove to you that the Holy Spirit has sealed you until I come get you. That's powerful stuff. Should we ever worry about whether we're going to make it to heaven? You trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior. What does he give you? Eternal life. What does the Holy Spirit do? Seals you forever. And so we don't ever have to say, gee, I hope I'm faithful. It has nothing to do with your faithfulness. Did your salvation have to do with your faithfulness? Does holding on to your salvation have to do with your faithfulness? No, it has nothing to do with it. So bottom line, great, great truth. So here's what we've seen so far. The ceiling shows security and ownership and authority. Now, what we've seen is regeneration is when we're born again. It's the relationship with God that we're born again. Baptism places us in union in Christ, and then sealing makes us secure in Christ. So let me give you quick applications, okay? First one is, let's understand what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the act when the Holy Spirit places us in the body of Christ. So the next time you're with somebody and they talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit and that's the speaking in tongues and all that, say, no, no. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, baptism of the Holy Spirit is when he identifies us, places us in union in Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It has nothing to do with gifts. It has nothing to do with experiences. You don't even know it when it happens. He just does it. The second thing is let's understand that the sealing of the Holy Spirit makes us secure. It places us in the body of Christ. That's what it does. And we are kept secure. Now, baptism puts us in there, but the Holy Spirit, we're placed in the body of Christ, and we are kept secure. Look at this. I love this right here. Baptism puts us in the body. Sealing keeps us in. That's really what it is, because we're sealed until the day of redemption. So we want to understand the work of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, regenerating us, putting us in the body, and keeping us secure in the body. None of us should ever fear that once we've trusted Christ as Savior, that anything could ever happen to us. We've been born again, we're in Christ, and we're secure in Christ.